This is The Think Tank, talking about the major economic, political, and social issues of the week on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Here's Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell.
Negative ads, dirty politics, and dark money, topic of the week in The Think Tank. Our guest, Rebecca Sanders from the Arizona Republic, and Arizona Republic columnist Lori Roberts. Welcome both.
Hi.
Okay, let's start right in. What's your nominee, Rebecca, for the dirtiest ad of this campaign season?
Well, I've got two. One was a mailer that went out in the primary in the heavily Democratic, tough primary in District 7 for Congress, where Mary Rose Wilcox sent out a mailer blaming the Trayvon Martin tragedy on her opponent, Ruben Gallego.
What was the language?
He voted for stand your ground law that made it easier to shoot someone and claim self-defense. This is true. He voted for a stand your ground type law.
But could we stop that? It's true that he voted for stand your ground.
That's
law, right?
Right.
Now, then there's another link to say that therefore makes Trayvon Martin more a case like that more likely.
Led to his death, right? And interestingly, the gun issue is involved in the other ad that's drawn criticism, which is this Gabby Giffords PAC ad against Republican Martha McSally that essentially blamed her for the death of a girlfriend and her father by an ex-boyfriend.
I actually have that ad right here.
My daughter was just 19 when she told her boyfriend the relationship was over, and he got a gun and he shot her and my husband.
He had threatened her before. I knew. I just knew.
Martha McSally opposes making it harder for stalkers to get a gun.
I don't think she really understands how important that is to a lot of women.
Americans for Responsible Solutions PAC approved the content of this message.
There you have that. The Americans for Everything Nice and Puppies, they bought that one.
First observation about that. One, I think it's a very powerful ad. Two, this is an ad by a third party. This is against Martha McSally, pro Ron Barber, but it is being put out there by the Gabby Giffords PAC. Lori, do you think that ad was fair?
Well, is it true? If she opposed background checks, a background check might possibly have caught a stalker, possibly not. I think it's tough. I think I'd have to come down on saying it's not an ad I would want to be associated with. It's a little tough.
But then again, you're not trying to win an election.
That's true. Is it effective? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This was personal, and there was a couple of others that we've seen. I'd rank that in terms of effectiveness way at the top.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely.
I mean, I think that's the question here. I mean, you asked for the dirtiest ads. I don't know that these are exactly dirty in terms of, you know, peddling an untruth or, you know, really stretching the facts exactly. But I think where these both have been criticized is just in kind of taking the responsibility to an extreme when they're blaming someone for someone else's death.
But that's what campaign ads do, right?
I mean, they try
to make somebody responsible for something they did by tying it to something that people don't like.
It happens on the other side of the coin as well. I ran into Dave in Hoboken, and he told me a story about how it goes to the good and the bad. It's used one example, one story, one extreme is always used on both sides, good or negative.
Well, in fact, our next example is one of those. We have Kyrsten Sinema being basically accused of fomenting terrorism.
Yeah, she loves some terrorists.
Terrorist threats are growing. Are we secure? Are we protected? Keeping us safe and secure is Congress's job. Kyrsten Sinema hasn't done her job. Sinema voted in Congress to give terrorists full legal rights under the Constitution. Sinema voted in Congress to allow Guantanamo terrorists to return to their countries. It's true. It's wrong. Kyrsten Sinema allowed her liberal agenda to get in the way of our safety.
I'm Wendy Rogers, and I approve this message.
Boom. How about that?
Wow. And the interesting thing about that one is that was actually run by Wendy Rogers, not by a third party.
Sure.
So
you got to give her credit.
Yeah,
she's willing to accept that she's the one throwing the dirt. Most candidates won't do that. They rely on third-party dark money people to sort of take the hits, and then they run the ads on themselves about how wonderful they are. Yeah. So you got to give her credit for that. I don't actually think that there's anything wrong with what we just heard in that ad. If she voted those ways, well, then that is the inevitable result. The objectionable thing is using one family's tragedy to further their political thing. That's just, it's just over the top to use that beheading, the images of right before that beheading, for political gain.
Well, there's also a question of a link. She voted at some point to constrain some level of spending. Does that mean that large groups of terrorists are going to cross our borders? There's a link there that you have to make to connect that.
Well, and also, you know, what troubled me to some extent is when I talked to Wendy Rogers' campaign about this ad, you know, they were making the point that Kyrsten Sinema voting to try these Guantanamo detainees in U.S. courts was wrong. They shouldn't have the same constitutional protections, and that perhaps that would increase danger to America. But my question to them was, okay, but these detainees are sitting there in a prison in Cuba costing millions and millions of dollars a year with nothing happening. What is Wendy Rogers' solution to it? And they didn't have an answer.
Well, I think of this in terms of the effectiveness of a political campaign commercial. You say terrorist, people say bad, I don't like them. Therefore, anything that you do that gives, quote, terrorists rights or anything good is something that people instinctively react negatively to. So an ad like that has a certain amount of effectiveness.
And what we're seeing right now, though, is we're, so far in the ads that we've discussed and the ads that we've heard, we aren't seeing the candidates go after the common sense middleman and woman. That's not what they're going after. They're going after their base. They know when they hear non-secure borders and terrorists coming across.
Fear works.
She loves terrorists. Exactly.
Both of these are fear-driven.
They know the polls. They know the research. They know exactly what they need to say, the hot buttons they need to push. Obamacare is bad, and terrorists are going to get us if we don't secure the border.
See, I disagree with you. I think they already have the base. Very, very few people, as Mike O'Neill has said before, very, very few people in this election are on the fence sitting here trying to evaluate the two candidates. You're talking about that 10, 12, 15%.
That's a high estimate, I think,
yeah,
probably.
In the middle, who in a close race will decide the race, and you're trying to get them off that fence.
Right. Well, more with Rebecca Sanders and Lori Roberts. We're talking the ad campaigns of this general election, good, bad, and the ugly, right here in the Think Tank on KTAR News and KTAR.com.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona, News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We are talking political advertising, dirty ads if they're against you. If they're put out on behalf of your candidate, they're tough, hard-hitting ads. We have talked about a number of them. Most of them we're dealing with have been ads for congressional races. We have another one lined up. This one was used in northern Arizona. Let's play it.
Evil forces around the world want to harm Americans every day. Their entry into our country through Arizona's backyard. Yet Ann Kirkpatrick consistently votes with her party against protecting Arizona. She voted against sending the National Guard to the border, against technology to detect illegal border crossings. She even voted with Nancy Pelosi against providing funds to secure the border. In a dangerous world, Kirkpatrick votes with Pelosi and leaves Arizona vulnerable. The National Republican Congressional Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
That hits on all levels. Yeah. That just hits every talking point you could possibly, taking on a Pelosi and everything. That's beautiful.
I thought it was a better ad than the last one we heard before the break, just because it took a lot of themes and wove them together,
right,
and tied it more to specific votes. What did you think?
My favorite thing about that ad is it feels and sounds like a movie trailer.
It does. It's movie guy.
Yeah, the movie voiceover and then that eerie music.
In
I kind
world.
Of want to go and watch that movie.
It's right. It catches your ear, catches your eye when you're seeing it on television, and it does. I guess Obama, because he's not up for re-election and they don't have to attack him, they go right after Pelosi, who you know will be here till she dies.
Well, I've listened to some of the Republican ads that say, you know, I'm going to fight Obama, and I'm wondering how effective that is at this point. unless you tie it to something specific. For example, I've seen a number of them with the phrase, I'm going to fight Obama. If that's not as good as saying, I'm going to fight Obamacare's job-killing taxes, because it's anti-tax, it's pro-job, it's not just, it tells you why somebody might be Obamacare.
Yeah, and those are really interesting ads when somebody's saying they're going to fight Obamacare and they're running for the Corporation Commission.
Yeah.
Or they're running for Secretary of State. It's right. Like, well, how exactly are you going to do that while you're pushing all that paper? I think the ad we just heard is incredibly effective. Mm-hmm. Evil forces want to around the world want to come. As it sounds like those ISIS guys with those big old swords are headed our way through the Mexican border.
Yeah, which of course there's absolutely zero evidence
of. There is zero evidence of it, but that doesn't mean it isn't happening
absolutely.
Or that it can't happen. And frankly, it can happen. Yeah. I mean, that kind of is a fair point. Our border is still a bit of a sieve.
Personally, I think ISIS is so well funded, they are much more likely to take a first-class flight airplane flight to Chicago than they are to trek through.
Hold on that, though.
But, our back door is still open, and it's a fair point.
Thank you. And it is a fair point because it's the Obama administration, and it is saying ISIS is a real threat. ISIS has come. They were telling us that they were going to come through our southern borders. They were telling us that. So to have this ad campaign say that it's unfair to really going on, it's kind of playing along to what we're pulled by the side.
Well, and Mike, to the point about tying candidates to Obama, I think it is still very powerful to do that because his popularity is just in the tank right now. It's the lowest it's ever been. And I think this accumulation of, the CDC not handling the Ebola outbreak, our foreign policy not handling the ISIS fighters, the VA secretary having to step down in the wake of that crisis, all of these agencies seeming to just fail to protect the American public.
There's an old political technique. When both parties are viewed negatively, you always want to make the other guy the issue. Yeah, Obama's at his lowest point. He's at 40%.
What's
and if
Congress
you make
at? What's
17, Republicans in Congress are 17.
That's generous.
So if the Republicans say make Obama the issue, his numbers are low, they win. If the Democrats get them to focus, no, what has the Republican Congress done? They've shut down the government, et cetera, et cetera. Their popularity is 17%. But Obama the issue because he's a single persona. And it conjures up a more focused image.
And he helps by appearing to be quite disconnected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, he does. But one person, and you go after the House Republicans. The House Republicans, maybe everyone's mad at the House Republicans. Maybe everyone's mad at the House Democrats. Maybe they're mad at the Senate and the House together. But their guy, not my guy. My guy's he's fighting the good fight right there. That's the problem we have, and why we have an incumbent reelection rate of 90%.
I think we have an incumbent, even though everybody hates Congress. Everybody, 95%. No, our guy isn't so good, but 95% are in completely safe, absolutely unbreakable districts where there's no real election. We're blessed in this state to have three genuinely competitive.
I don't know how you change it until you change some aspect of the Voter Rights Act or something has to give to where you can more evenly distribute people in those districts of differing parties.
Right. Now, here was something that was refreshing. Actually, an ad that talked about the candidate and not against the other one. Here's Kyrsten Sinema's ad talking about the VA problem.
He was a really honest, happy-go-lucky kind of a kid. Daniel had an implicit memory.
We tell people that we lost our encyclopedia when we lost Daniel.
He came home with a traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder. Daniel tried to get help through the Phoenix VA. One day, Daniel told them he was thinking about committing suicide. They told him they didn't have any beds to check him in. They didn't refer him to another hospital. They told him he could lay down on the floor in the corner, and when he felt better, he could drive himself home. Of course, shortly thereafter, he committed suicide. I've got a big brother who's a Marine, and my little brother is active duty. That could be my little brother. That could be my big brother.
I really feel it's a personal issue with her.
She is trying to do what's right, and she's willing to lead a bipartisan effort.
We're working on a whole comprehensive list of changes to the VA. I want to make sure veterans are treated the way that I would expect my brother to be treated.
I'm Kyrsten Sinema, and I approve this ad.
Wow. Talk about just hitting it home. I mean, hitting it home because we're talking about the VA, basically we're ground zero of the VA scandal, so to speak, and she's making it personal,
absolutely.
And she is going after Arizona, national border crisis, this and that. It's all Arizona.
And not only that, but I think it's a rare instance of a positive ad that is very effective.
Right. It was, look at me. This is what I can do, not personal. What they have done.
I've got a brother who's in the military, so it's personal, so it's credible. She uses real people, you know, who are parents of a suicidal vet. Those folks are real, and therefore they're very credible. How did you guys react to that?
I think it's an incredibly powerful ad. I would be very much more moved if the Kyrsten Sinemas of the world and the David Schweikerts and all of them who are now taking on this issue had taken it on before it boiled over into what it became. You know, that VA situation, a lot of those people went to our congresspeople and our senators, and they weren't heard. And so I would be willing to tie Kyrsten Sinema more to this had she been there for them before and not waited until after.
But there we're getting to the reasonableness of the ad more than the effectiveness.
Oh, I think the effectiveness is off the charts.
She on this specific issue, she was fairly active, though. She met with Daniel Summers' family last year before the scandal broke and introduced legislation to try and improve mental health care for veterans like Daniel. So she does have some credibility to back this up. But I think what one of the frustrating things we are seeing is the ineffectiveness of our delegation to really keep the pressure on the VA to get results in the wake of this scandal. I mean, the firings that, you know, haven't even taken place here in Phoenix. And where is our delegation? I mean, they say that they're pressing for, you know, consequences, but we're not seeing it.
Totally ineffective. They should have been screaming from the rafters if they knew this was going on, and they weren't.
That's Rebecca Sanders and Lori Roberts. They're our guests right here on the Think Tank. More about the dirty money in advertising, the dirty, the good, the ugly, and the, hey, somewhat inspiring. Coming up next.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
We are back discussing ads in the 2014 political campaign. We're going to play a couple of ads that our brain trust thought were ineffective. Roll it.
Ruben Gallego. Remember his name if you care about paycheck fairness so that women finally get paid the same as men. That's one reason why so many are voting for Ruben Gallego. When it comes to protecting a woman's right to health care, Ruben Gallego is the only candidate who fought back in the state legislature when Republicans tried to close down Planned Parenthood. Ruben Gallego. He's earned our trust, so we can trust him in Congress. Revitalize Arizona is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Revitalize Arizona.
Well, Rebecca, you're a woman, and this was an ad addressed to women, and you found this one underwhelming.
Well, it was the reason I put this as one of the least impactful. It's for a few factors. One, they didn't put a whole lot of money behind this, so probably not a whole lot of people saw it. It wasn't that very sophisticated work in terms of the, you know, the graphics and all of that. But also because in this district that he was running in, it was the primary that mattered. A very Hispanic, low-income Democratic seat where voters there are really just more influenced by the mailers and the door-to-door campaign volunteers asking for their vote. So this was effective, I guess, in terms of he was the only candidate in the primary to go up on TV. But and also it is that women's target, and he was going up against Mary Rose Wilcox, female candidate.
Who most of the old timers in this town thought had it in the bag, because I heard phrases that I always was skeptical. The Wilcox machine.
See, I didn't think that that was the case at all. The Gallego machine is far more well-oiled. The Wilcox machine...
It's been used in the last quarter century.
The Wilcox machine has been a little bit rusty because she hasn't had a race in, 20 years?
Quarter century,
years?
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised at all. I would have been shocked for her to win because he had an army of volunteers out there on the streets.
It was a classic case of old guard, new technology. I must say, I found there was one little piece of what I would call true but misleading slipperiness in this ad. Ruben is the only candidate who introduced legislation. He was the only candidate in the legislature, so he was the only one who could.
it's not really an issue in the county board of supervisors.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of ads that do that. This isn't conflation, but this is, you know, it's a true statement, but not really relevant given that he wasn't up against another legislator. We have another ad. This one, Matt Salmon, Rebecca thought was also very ineffective.
We need to secure the border.
Improve education.
To create jobs.
Good jobs.
Keep the government off our back.
And stop wasteful spending.
I'm Matt Salmon. Every day in Congress, I work to stop Obama's liberal agenda so we can get this country back on track. Securing the border, stopping wasteful spending, getting the economy going again. I'm Matt Salmon, and I approve this message because together, we can do this.
Now, before the election, if I could draw up one commercial that I would have expected to see over and over and over again from the right, it would have been exactly that. That followed the template.
Yeah, I want to ask you about why you didn't like that, because I thought there were a lot of themes in there and a lot of phrases that were very poll tested. You know, cut wasteful spending. Who's against that? Right. Secure the border. Everybody's for that. Improve education. I mean, he didn't tell you how he's going to do any of this stuff. Create good jobs. Get government off our back. Stop Obama's liberal agenda, especially good in the primary, but okay, Obama's not real popular in that district, so that's probably that may be a little gratuitous, but still, I mean, I got like six themes there, and they're all ones that, and of course, he doesn't have any opposition, so this is more just reinforcing people are going to vote for him anyway. But you didn't like the ad.
Well, sure, it hits all the points in the playbook, but an effective ad has one message, and so the kind of plethora of issues, I think, can be confusing to voters. But just more in terms of political strategy, he doesn't need an ad. That's just why I called it one of the least impactful, because he's going to skate to re-election in this heavily Republican district. He does have a challenger who is a Democrat, but it's mostly a token challenge. He doesn't really need this ad up. That's why I think it's probably a prelude to looking to the Senate run in 2016.
So maybe this is a pretty good ad for the context he's in, which is
Yes. This
ad says, I'm Matt Salmon. I am for all those things that all you folks in my district are already for. And this is an ad just to remind you of that fact.
And the same ad that's been run for 20 years. I mean, who is actually not for these things? Who wants to keep wasteful spending? Who doesn't want to secure the border? Well, there may be a few people. Who doesn't want to improve education? The fact is, they haven't done it. They didn't do it when the Democrats were in charge and had the White House. They didn't do it when the Republicans were in charge and had the White House. For that reason, I think it's one of those ads that just kind of is out there in the noise and nobody pays attention to because nobody believes them.
But Matt Salmon is for all this stuff, and it does accomplish that.
Great.
Just reminding you, just to remind you that Matt Salmon is on the ballot. He's going to win anyway, but we got to keep the name recognition up so that the
point me to
the
a
brand,
politician
right?
Who isn't for these things.
None, not a one. Now, a couple of points. I wanted to talk about a couple others that we don't have tapes for, but this just gets to the issue of what's effective and what's not. There was a cinema ad that quoted Wendy Rogers on camera saying, I want to phase out Social Security. I thought that was very effective, especially because they got her on camera saying that. In contrast, there was an Andy Tobin ad or an anti-Tobin ad that referenced the fact that Tobin wanted to, quote, privatize Social Security, which is not as scary as phasing it out. And it was less effective because it said that's what he said, but it didn't show him saying it. The cinema ad showed Wendy Rogers at a podium saying, I'd be in favor of phasing out.
And it was even a step more indirect than that. It was saying that the Koch brothers support Andy Tobin and they want to privatize Social Security. And it's like, you know, asking voters to make these, you know, link to link. It's not that hard hitting.
Yeah,
and they're designed, and they're filmed, they're written by people like us that follow politics, people that stay into this. I would challenge half this state to tell us who the Koch brothers are.
Well, it's interesting that's been one of the Democrats' attempts in this election is to make that a negative brand.
Yeah, and then the Republicans come back and say, ooh, George Soros. Well, I don't even know if he's involved in many of these races. I haven't seen evidence of it. But
it's just because he's got that look about him. I think that's easy.
Well,
yeah. Well, but I think you say dark money. You say unseen forces from out of state. what do they want? And I think it's a legitimate question to say, what is it that they want? And why do they seem to be so interested in getting certain people elected in our state? A voter should be asking those questions.
Especially if they're pouring in truly big money.
Millions upon millions.
And in a lot of these races, and this is what we're going to talk about in our final segment, what do we know about the dark money that's out there in this campaign? And what signs are there of how does that distribute by candidate? And what do we know about that? I know Rebecca says that at the congressional level, and I think it's the opposite story for most of these state offices, that the Democrats actually have an advantage.
We got time for one more ad. You don't have it's not a
sure.
congressional, do you? It was a mailer that actually came out, and if you got it, you know you got it. It's a picture of a little girl with big brown eyes, and it says, "Will you help me, please?" And on the back side, it basically says that if you vote yes on Proposition 122, you will protect children from child abuse.
It can't be that. Got to vote for that.
Explain
to
us, what is Prop 122?
This is something that the Republican Party is supporting big time, and there's... It is basically a nullification proposal. A bill to say that we, as Arizonans and as our legislature, have the ability to say we think certain federal laws are unconstitutional, and if we so declare, no state resources, no city resources, no town resources will be used. For example, you could say we think it's unconstitutional to say that people can't own Uzis and walk around the streets with them, and so if people walk around the streets with them, we're going to direct our police departments to say they're allowed to have Uzis. And the only people who can come in and stop them, I guess, would be federalized troops or some federal, I guess the FBI could come in and arrest you.
I will bet the farm on that one. That one, if it passes, lasts 5 minutes in the federal courts before it's declared unconstitutional.
I know we don't have time, but don't be fooled. This has nothing to do with abused children.
But it's got a picture of abused kids on it. Come on now.
Because they're saying that our government could, our legislature could declare CAPTA, which is the Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, federal act, unconstitutional, and then we could find out what all these bad guys are doing. Not true, not true. Not true.
That's Lori Roberts. She's Rebecca Sanders. Thank you so much for joining us and helping us sift through the dark money, the good, the bad, the ugly of the campaigns. Doc and I'll tie a big old happy bow around this when we get back right here in the Think Tank on KTAR News.
You're listening to the Think Tank on the Voice of Arizona. News Talk 92.3 KTAR.
Okay, we are talking campaign strategies. We've talked about ads. We've got a final segment here. Want to talk about money, where the money is going, and particularly where the money is going that is not directly funding candidates. We have third-party operations. There was a graph published in the Republic the other day that suggested that at the gubernatorial level, Doug Ducey had lots of third-party support, Republican Governors Association in particular. I had a problem with the way the graph was constructed, because if you looked at it, you had to understand it. The biggest pile of money was anti-Duvall money. The second biggest pile of money was pro-Ducey money. Well, both of those are sort of the same thing. And if, by the time you looked at those and you realized that's the lion's share. Now, Rebecca, you've looked at congressional money and you think that's coming down differently. That's a little bit more Democratic at this point.
Yeah, it's been interesting. In the statewide, the governor, the corporation commission races, dark money has been a real factor. But in congressional races, it's been less so. There was a lot more dark money spending kind of earlier this year and in ways that isn't necessarily reported to the FEC. But yeah, when I did totals, we've got Democrats either in support of them or against their opponents at about $62 million, and then Republicans getting about $50 million total from these outside groups.
And that's state of Arizona or?
State of Arizona, okay. U.S. House races, dark money, as well as things like PACs, super right. PACs, and parties.
And I assume almost all of that is the three contested races.
Yes. Almost all of that is in districts 1, 2, and 9, where we've got toss up races.
So 60 to it's ballpark. It's in the same ballpark.
It's in the same ballpark. And we'll see in the next couple of weeks if that it probably evens out. Let's see. The Martha McSally is the candidate who has had the most money spent either against her or for her. She's at 30 3 million. Well, can you imagine 33 million of in ads coming
against her?
At
an
you?
Ad to her, that's not the same. I'd like to see that sort of pro McSally, whether it's anti Barber or pro McSally. I say that's the same pile. You know, that's a pro Republican, anti Democrat pile. So the money in that race has gone for her by what kind of a ratio?
You know, I don't have support and opposition just for her, but I just add it up together so that she's just attracting the most amount of spending.
But some of that's it, but more pro than against.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, there's big spending there because that is perhaps the Republicans' best chance of picking off one of those swing.
You think that one's more districts. In jeopardy than Kirkpatrick?
I think both of those. Yeah. But I mean, certainly more close than CD9, which is Sinema and
interesting.
Rogers.
You know, a year ago, I think everybody would have ranked. Everybody did rank those all equally. So how do you think Kyrsten Sinema has? I think almost immunized herself.
You know, I don't know. First of all, she's the hardest worker I've ever seen. She works all the time, and she sort of toes that middle line. She sets the tone that actually I like, which is to say Republicans and Democrats ought to try to get along. And of course, Republicans look at her skeptically because of all the years when she was such a strong partisan Democrat.
They want to bring up the old Prada socialist thing.
Well, I like to think that people can grow and have wisdom. And so I like the message that she's preaching, which is just because you disagree with me, I'm not evil. You're not evil. And I don't know everything. Maybe we should actually talk. And I think that's a message that desperately needs to be heard all over this country. But I want to talk about dark money in the statewide races. The two places that you're seeing it are in the gubernatorial race, where it is all coming out several million dollars thus far, and probably much more that we'll see in the next 2 weeks, aimed at getting Doug Ducey, not dark Doug Ducey, but dark Doug Ducey.
Dark Ducey. Oh, my goodness.
I don't mean that. But aimed at getting him elected. A lot
and
of
that,
it is.
That ratio is overwhelming, isn't it?
But I'll tell you the other one that's not getting much attention, and it's important to watch, is that there is still an enormous amount of dark money being spent in the Corporation Commission race, all of it aimed at making sure that Democrat Sandra Kennedy does not get elected. I think at last I checked, it was $900,000 spent by a dark money group called Save Our Future Now.
Does that smell like APS
primary,
money?
Well, in the primary, that is certainly who we all believed was behind it, APS. So I'm going to make an assumption that APS still may be involved.
Now, who might have an interest in the outcome of the Corporation Commission race?
Well, I can only think of one particular group, and I absolutely positively cannot say for certain. But I, you know, if those initials are APS, there you go. The question that voters might want to consider is, why is it worth so much money for a public utility to make sure that a certain person does not get elected? Again, there has never been money spent on these Corporation Commission races in previous years. And this year, the amount of money has been overwhelming.
And interestingly, you're saying that is more focused anti-Sandra Kennedy than her running mate.
Right. $900,000 at last I saw was focused at making sure that Sandra Kennedy does not get elected. Same thing they did last time with Vernon Parker. Some people are saying it's a race issue because they both are black. I don't know that I believe that. I suspect it has more to do with their views on solar.
Mm-hmm. Now, solar's the big thing, and there's a lot of devil in the detail kind of issues. I think APS is looking very long term in terms of if they set up reimbursements in a certain way, it has a long-term effect on their revenue stream.
You know, they've been very, very smart because they've not been caught, unlike before when they've been caught in lies. This time they have just continued to say, we're not going to say what we're doing. And because it's dark money, we can't tell. And that very well means that we could end up with a Corporation Commission that is full of APS patsies.
Well, and interestingly, partisan-wise, there's already three Republicans on the commission. Even if the two Democrats win, it's still a Republican majority commission.
I think we have a 5-member Republican commission now, do we not?
We do. I'm saying that there are only two that are up for re-election. Even if both Democrats win, they are in the minority.
Certainly. So, and it should not be a Republican versus Democratic issue. And indeed, it wasn't. In the primary, there were people. It's a rooftop solar industry versus traditional electric utility
And that the traditional electric folks on the Republican side got the money and got the nomination
well,
as a result.
I should change that. The rooftop solar people have the money, too. The difference is that they're willing to come out and say, we support these candidates. APS is the one hiding in the shadows.
Yeah, yeah. Probably because it's less popular.
Probably because it works.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, the whole point of dark money and funding stuff is that you have an interest in the outcome and you don't want that interest to be front and center.
Is it ever going to backfire on this? I think there's going to come a time, like we mentioned off air, we're talking about DVRs. I haven't seen half these ads, and I live in this environment. I haven't seen half of these. And some of the things you think about, especially like the flyers and the junk mail, whatever. It's like white noise to me. Is dark money just going to, is it going to blow up in their face? Is it at one time just not going to work anymore because they're spending money I don't think where it's really working?
It didn't work in the primary because they spent an enormous amount of money, these dark money groups, to get Justin Pierce elected Secretary of State. Justin Pierce, of course, is the son of Corporation Commissioner Gary Pierce. It was considered some sort of a payback for his votes on other things. They've all, of course, denied it. There's denial. But that's the narrative that's out there. And so much money
worked
was
in the
spent.
Corporation Commission, though. They got their guys in.
Right. But it backfired. Backfired big time on poor old Justin Pierce. He had no real chance. And to be fair to him, this was all independent money. He couldn't have called it off if he wanted to, if he's abiding by the law. And I like to believe that people abide by the law in this state since, you know, that's. But the irony of the whole thing is that an electric utility company, the people who provide us light, seem to operate best in the dark.
Well played.
You know, I think we're going to have a measure of that. Should the Democrats prevail, and they are massively underfunded relative to the Republicans in the Corporation Commission, should the Democrats prevail, it will be because they have tagged their opponents as the APS candidates. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if it does, people may rethink some of their dark money spending.
What are we going to see? We got 1 minute left. What are we going to see moving forward? Is this going to continue or is it going to run out, fizzle out? What are we going to see? Is it going to ramp up? Yeah.
Oh, I think you're going to see I think you're going to be assaulted. Your senses are going to be assaulted over the next
come on,
2 weeks
DVR.
Until we
don't
get
let me
to
down.
This thing. Thank God for DVR is all I can say.
And it's the same ads over and over,
too. Oh, it is, Rebecca.
And in terms of dark money, I would say, you know, the 2012 presidential race in itself was an experiment in failure with hundreds of millions of dollars spent to elect Romney and that went to waste. I think what we're going to see over the next couple cycles is just more sophistication. How do you use that money effectively?
Sure.
And how do you get a better return?
Yeah, because I think the return is going to fizzle quickly as we
maybe
keep loving
the death of clean elections.
Well, clean elections is already on life support, isn't it?
Yeah, 40 candidates out of 120 running with it.
Rebecca Sanders, Lori Roberts, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry I tried to kick you out in the last segment. My apologies. Thank you. Your insight is absolutely invaluable. Thanks for spending some time with us right here in the Think Tank on behalf of Dr. Mike O'Neill and myself. Have a great week.